On this Christ the King Sunday, we hear a gospel not about Christ and his glory or the risen Christ, but the crucified Christ. And so I'd like to do something a little unusual and start with a poem about the crucifixion called The Pride of Christ. The fallen angels conjured out from abyss by their black lord unleashing fullest fury of hell upon the teacher called Jesus. And he, a man, they pound and harry and rile up the multitude with foaming hatred. This very day, noon sun will turn blood red, then skies to black beneath hell's attack, cast over with Satan's reign. Oh, how the crowd thirsts for greater pain. His blood, beat it out. No, they won't stop. Grind him down so as to never rise again. He could end it all with a word. Why won't he stop? Such madness, obstinance, the fool wants death. Scourging, crowning, bearing the load himself. What is he trying to prove? To whom? All have betrayed you. Your father abandoned you. Admit your defeat. But he won't, so they rip nails through his hands and his feet. And then, to end, Satan manifests his ugly face, and Jesus has the audacity to say the words, "It is finished." What? Have you ever heard such ridiculous stubbornness, and they call me proud? Persistence and delusion to declare victory, it is accomplished. I have not faltered, have not turned back. A man, the Son of Man, alone withstood hell's total attack. From the lips of any other man, such words might come with smile of defiance. But Jesus the Christ won't give the devil even that chance of satisfaction. No, I have not lost any of those you gave me. No suffering, no agony, all accepted magnanimously, reverently. And his sacred heart burns unconsumed, undimmed. Having loved his own in the world, he loved them to the end. Love better than life, life given, not taken. Still his pride is checked by somber recognition of those the Father did not give him. They, the lack within his offering, by blood of stubborn Christians, gather them in. He thirsts for whom the church offers oblation. Martyrs gasping out with Christ, "This is my body." Mary, who gave birth on Calvary, bring his wounds to life in me. So thank you for bearing with me with that poem, which expresses the pride, or if you will, the nobility of Christ. Nobility as this ability to rise above popular opinion, passing sentiment, what he felt like doing, or even human reasoning, common sense, if you will. That nobility seeks to judge by eternal truths. And Jesus is noble. His heart is constant, unchanging, eternal, constantly inviting us to submit to his reign, his kingship. Jesus is God, and God is eternal. He sees all that was, all that is now, all that will be. He sees all in one continuous act of creation. The Father saw it all in the beginning when he breathed his word, his fiat lux. He knew how the world would fall, and yet he spoke that word anyway, that word that is Jesus Christ, the word by whom we were created. He came to earth and emptied himself. He came as a king, but his kingdom was not of this world. And yet he was more powerful than any earthly king, emperor, or dictator ever has been or will be. His crown was of thorns, his armies legions of angels, and at his command they allowed him to be arrested, scourged, condemned as a criminal, mocked, and put to death in a most shameful and painful way. At their king's command, the armies of heaven stood by while the Son of God died. And he in his nobility remained constant. He retained his nobility even in the extremes of his humiliation, and thus exalted our dignity. We are exalted because the King of the universe thought that we were worth that. We are lifted up because our King was willing to fall for us. We are lifted up because Christ has brought all our pain and suffering, all our sin to the cross. He has redeemed us. He has chosen us for himself. And the kingdom of darkness has no response to this. The snarler can whine and spit all he wants, but in Christ's weakness, we are made strong. In his death, the kingdom of heaven is opened up for us, as it was to the thief in our gospel today. For part two, this weekend is our stewardship renewal weekend, which fits well with our recognition of Christ's kingship. As you may recall, a steward recognizes all good things as things received from God, which God gives us out of his goodness. We recognize what God has given us, what Jesus has given for us, for our salvation. And out of gratitude, we desire to respond, to give back what we have only been, can only say we have received from God. We desire to share the things not that we own, but that we have been entrusted with, our time, our talents, and our treasure. Those who are registered with the parish should have received your stewardship packets in the mail about a month ago. So we're asking you to get those turned in. If you are not registered with the parish and you find yourself coming to Mass here regularly, then please register so that we can communicate with you and you can get involved with the parish. We have a lot of generous stewards here. If you come to this parish, you are the beneficiaries of the generosity of your fellow parishioners. We aren't the party parish, for one thing, without a lot of generous stewards. We don't have coffee and donuts after this Mass every single Sunday, not to mention Oktoberfest and NOLA and all the different wonderful events that we have, without a lot of people giving generously of their time and talent. And these are the things that build our community, things that helped draw many of you here or kept others here. And we don't have the beautiful Masses that we have, which are really the center of our communion, our community. Without a lot of people giving generously of their time and their talent in the choir, lecturing, ushering, serving, being Eucharistic ministers, even deaconing might contribute something. We're glad to have Deacon Luke back this weekend and soon back in the diocese for the rest of his life to serve the church here. So to everyone who is giving so generously, thank you for all that you do to make our parish the wonderful place that it is. If you are coming here to Mass and you are not giving, find a way to be generous. We are all called to practice generosity, to sacrificial love. Getting an adoration hour is a great start if you do nothing else. If you're too busy to give in other ways, then that's all the more reason why you need to give God some space, some silence in your life to work. And all that we have in the parish takes money, too, that our money is one of those things that is also entrusted to us, that we're asked to practice generosity with. Do not let money become an idol, because no matter how much or how little you have, it can be. The dreams of what we will do with the money that we save up, or just the feelings and security that we place in it, the desires that we put into it. And I know that living itself is expensive enough these days, but there's also many ways presented to us to drain our money. The standard that we ask is that everyone give 8% of their income to the parish and 2% to charity, so that biblical 10% going to God. But if you cannot meet that, especially if you're not giving anything or not giving something consistently, then give 5%, 3%. And I encourage you, if you're not at 8% right now, then take a look at how much money you're giving to subscriptions each month. One of those ways I mentioned that are can easily drain our income. Or one that's really become a problem, especially in recent years, is sports betting or other online gambling. Or how often do you eat out? Just to take an honest look at where what we're putting our money into, because it says what we think is important. And not to subtract your debt from your income. That some people will say, I'm not tithing now, but I'll tithe later after I pay off my house or my car or whatever the case is, may be. Your debt you will always have with you, unless you're talking about credit card or, God forbid, payday loans. Then get rid of them and find out how to get out of them and stay out of them. but at the end of the day, we have a lot of wonderful things going on in this parish, and we have so this. It is such a wonderful parish for me to be at as well, to come into this year, because of so many generous stewards in our parish. All of the people doing their part, and the many generous people giving more than 8%. So thank you. Thank you. And everyone is given gifts. So a closing thought is that each of you here has been the beneficiary of the generosity of your fellow parishioners. From those to whom much is given, much will be demanded by our King.